You might like to open your Bible to Deuteronomy and chapter 20. Deuteronomy and chapter 20. And in our exercise to review Jeremiah as we get back into it, we are reminded that God is exclusively and only God. So therefore, God has no competition, and there is nothing and no one anywhere. He's the Creator. And therefore, He has total right to be who He is. And He is to be honored because of who He is. 1,000%. Sin came along, God allowed it, and sin, Adam and Eve and all of us, sin came along and made the whole thing in great need, requiring Christ, God Himself, in Christ, to go to the cross. So the cost is very, very awesome. And God did that to fix what was wrong. In other words, sin from top to bottom, from stem to stern, whatever, bow to stern, whatever, in the process is wrong. The human heart, apart from God, is wrong, period. That's why you read in Mark 7 and that, 18 and that, about the heart condition, that it's evil and all the rest of it. Galatians and chapter 5 and the works of the flesh, and then there's nothing good. Now, having said that, we need that because God is teaching Jeremiah in his toughening Jeremiah up to be able to handle a very difficult job of going and ministering to Israel, whose heart gets harder and harder, and to be, say it for us, to be in the world system and to see it clearer and clearer, better and better. It's not quite so glorious. The mountains, the hills, the birds, the bugs, they're all glorious from a human standpoint. But humans have never come through. Every generation dies. Every generation is more corrupt and heading into the tribulation, terribly corrupt. So, with that in mind, now, what does Jeremiah need to learn? What do we need to learn? In Deuteronomy chapter 20, you'll recall when we did Joshua and all that, and God reminded them as they're about to cross the Jordan, Deuteronomy chapter, the book of Deuteronomy, the last book, Moses dies, they cross the Jordan. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, they are instructed, and remember we kept reviewing it so that we knew. And when it comes to chapter 20, picking up please in verse 16. But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breathes. Nothing that breathes. That's what to do. Of all the cities you're going to have, I want you to get rid of all the breathers. Verse 17. What are we going to do and how are we going to do it? Thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. The reason, if you don't do that, verse 18, that they, the idols and the idolaters, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. So if you don't get rid of all of the gangrene in your hand, and you're going to leave some, you're going to lose your arm. If you don't get rid of all the bad disease that's very active, if you don't get it all, that's what they look for, don't they? They look to get it all. Because if any's left, it keeps going. God said, if you want to enjoy a wonderful relationship to God, your Creator, you need to understand, you need to be holy, you need to be separated. There must be no idolatry and no idols. Exodus chapter 20, 1 through 4. To worship God alone, and nothing you can see, taste, touch, smell, don't worship it. God's the invisible God, as we're in his presence. Now, having said that, so what did Israel do? Well, Israel went into the land, and they were given their lots. And what did they do? Well, they wanted to live and let live and everything, and that's what they wanted to do. Instead of getting them, driving out the enemy and getting rid of the enemy and the giants, they left them. And Israel thought that it would just be fine, and it was easier to do that. And in the process, it ended with what? They lost their relationship to God. They lost their occupation of the land. They lost it all. So the enemy prevailed. The disease won. The disease won. That's what it did. God said, get rid of the disease or it will win. And it won. So therefore, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and they chose, they had the right to believe and look to God and exercise what God said, or they could not do it, but they did. They chose to do what they did, and they did it. Now, in the process of that, you remember we looked at God's wonderful grace in the church age, and God's grace is given. All the while that it's given, without doing all that, remember Romans, John 3 and 36 and all that, the wrath of God, what? Sits over our head like a big pendulum swinging right now. Across the whole world, pendulum swinging. Did God things get better? No. But they crucified him and were glad to do it, and hopefully it would all go away, but God would give them one sign, the sign of the empty tomb. The empty tomb is shown by the believers, like sitting here right now. And we show the tomb was empty indeed, and Christ is risen. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so here's the world, and we have grace. Grace. In the midst of wrath, and grace is lingered to this far, and next thing around the corner is the wrath of God in the tribulation. And how far away? Not far away from it. So God, here we are looking, and everything. So in Jeremiah, back to Jeremiah, Jeremiah is going to go, and Ezekiel, and God tells them as they honor his word, God will honor and protect them 1,000%. Like we read in Romans 8 and that, 31. If God be for us on our behalf, looking down, protecting us, who can come down on top of us and be against us? Answer, nobody. Nobody can. And as long as God wants, His will to be exercised in a given way, in a given person, in a given body of believers. That's how it's going to be, all the way to the end. And it's not because it's grace, but all around it is surrounded by darkness and death. And there is no hope that they aren't interested in anything. They aren't interested in survival, they aren't interested in God. They're looking just to survive and to succeed to another generation. That's all they want. They aren't interested in the future. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so Jeremiah is being taught. Now, what's Jeremiah learning, among other things, as he goes each year of these years, in doing the same job, same people, all the hearts get harder. Over to Jeremiah and chapter 25. And in Jeremiah chapter 25, picking up if I can, in verse 4, you'll catch it. What do I need to know if I'm Jeremiah, or for us here, or what Jeremiah had to learn? What are we supposed to learn? Well, God said the thing is bad. What part of the bad is good? How's that? What part of the cancer is good? What part of the bad is good? See? Well, find some. If you can't find any, that's what God's trying to help you understand. There is no good in bad. Bad doesn't become good. How does God get rid of bad? Crucified. That's how God gets rid of bad. Now, so therefore, God help us. So therefore, verse 4, 25 and verse 4. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to them, to hear. They said, turn ye again, now every one to his own, to turn every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings. Turn ye again from now, every one. But they didn't. And dwell in the land that the Lord hath given you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them, to worship them. Provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, your idols. I will do you no hurt. I won't hurt you. But if you go, remember Jeremiah, verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words. Now, God persisted one long time from our human standpoint, and God bore them and allowed it to exist. So, you and I get saved, come to the Lord as our Savior, and we are to what? We live year one, year two, year 10, and the world is the same. And you're sitting there waiting for God to get better, everything get better. But the longer you live, the more you understand it isn't getting better. So we're getting there. What do I need to know? God waits a long time, sometime for our point of view. And God said things to Noah. God said things to David. God said things to Isaiah. God's saying things now. He waits, but he's busy warning. So as we wait, why doesn't God fix things? God waits. What are we to learn? What is Jeremiah to learn? It's going to take all four kings to be bad before Nebuchadnezzar will level the city. Nebuchadnezzar, another year, another king, another year, another king. Another day, another week, another movement. And that thing that just heard, I guess, Jeanette shared it with me on the educational thing, the national, you probably know all that, that the going to go and you have to go, and they're implementing a terrible, terrible, terrible mood for the whole country, for the whole country, on this critical race theory and all that, for the whole country. It's crazy, but that's what they're doing. You have to wait. Let me do it again a little differently. Early, God's never late to tell people. You say, well, God, why didn't God warn me? God did tell you. God did tell you. You just didn't pay attention for the general people in the world. Now, therefore, over to chapter 7. In chapter 7. And picking up, if I may, in verse 22. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. I just want them to believe me and get to Mount Sinai. What do we have to do? Don't do anything. I just want you to get to me. Get to me. Verse 23. But this thing commanded I them. What did you say to them? Not sacrifices and offering, no, not then. But this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. That's what I want you to do. Just obey my voice. Believe me. 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels of their imagination, and their evil heart went backwards and not forward. It didn't go. Interestingly, next verse, next statement, verse 25. Since how long has this condition been around? Verse 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, all the way, Jeremiah, all the way to your day. From the day they left Egypt, the heart was the same. Always the same. Always the same. You got to, after you get saved, your old nature is still the same. God saves us in a wonderful way, but we got that old nature. Hang on. Now, so in verse 25, I have sent you, verse 25, of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers, each time, each generation, knowing the last one, continued what they did and kept adding to it. That's where we are today. Verse 27, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. They don't want to hear it. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they shall not answer thee. They aren't going to care what you say or do or anything. Verse 28, but thou shalt say unto them anyway, this is a nation that obeyeth not. Remember coming out of Egypt, we read. This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. They have no truth. There is none. So now, Jeremiah, it's a long time. So we get impatient. We want speed when we want things. And I need to understand, you need to understand, Jeremiah was to understand what? God, you're going to do what you're going to do, but you have to wait God's time to do it. God does everything at the right time. Not 1 minute late, not 1 minute early. Everything's at the right time. So therefore, we have to wait as we see it evolving. And another year goes by, another generation goes by, and you sit and wait and wait. Why? Do you change? No, because you already know how God is acting and how he's doing. So therefore, you line up with his thought as he's doing it. Therefore, chapter 9. And in chapter 9, picking up if I can, in verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. What are we supposed to get all excited about? That he understandeth and what? And knoweth me. That's what I told you that in the first place. God said, I'm God. And that's what it's all about. And your relationship to God. Now, what makes the relationship difficult? Because of the sin, our old nature. So we've got to be able, and we're still going to be in this body, in God's timing and will and grace. We still have to be in this body. And the body's going to have word, thought, and deed that's lousy. Lousy. And like you read on Sunday with Judges 1 and 2 and that when you point your finger at anybody like that, remember, you got the same old nature that everyone else does. So when you're complaining about people and persons and things that aren't like you like them, look at yourself, because in your heart, you have every ingredient that everyone else has, from top to bottom, your old nature. And there's no different old nature. In other words, this side has this type of old nature, and this side has this type of old nature, and you wish to run that side or something. No, it's the same old nature from start to finish, morning to night. There's no difference. Little one, big one. Young, old, male, female, whatever. So once you get that clear, you slow down, because I'm not going to say, what am I going to say? It's in me. Evil's in me. Criticism's in me. Destructive criticism. Good criticism. It's in us. So we learn to shut up. Is that all right? And be quiet. Because now, Jeremiah, God, your glory, to understand and know me that I am the Lord, verse 24, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, having said that, behold, what is about Israel? Behold, what are they doing? Are they going to look for this wonderful, great relationship to God to understand and know him? No. Verse 25. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised, that's the Jews, with the uncircumcised, the Gentiles. Verse 26. Egypt and Judah, Edom and the children of Ammon, and Moab, and all that are in the uttermost corners, all over the place, wherever they are, that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in their heart. The Gentiles wouldn't necessarily be circumcised in the same way the Jew was, for the same reason. But then God points to Israel. They were circumcised in the skin, but not in the heart. Isn't the skin going to do it? No. Nope, skin isn't going to do it. Nope, skin. Going to cut the skin. Uh-huh. Seed, that's what I'm going to do. Seed. I want that marked, separated. Go with me, open. Deuteronomy in chapter 10. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, may I go directly in the light of the context, verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your what? Your heart. Hang on. And be no more stiff-necked. The problem is a heart problem, and we got to fix the heart. The skin problem is there, and I mark you as separate. Hang on. Mark you, set you apart, like in Genesis 17. The circumcision made, it was this token of the covenant. Covenant. In other words, could I be able to sit in the sanctuary? Yes, because you were circumcised. Can I be counted as an Israelite? Yes, you're circumcised. That's, it gave him like a ticket, a pass, to get in, to be counted, to belong to the covenant. That's what they needed to do. Belonging to the covenant didn't save you. It didn't save you. It just gave you the right relationship to enjoy being in the camp of Israel. That's all it did. Now, but circumcision of the skin isn't going to do anything. That's why you have all these things. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the, what is it? The seed of the woman, not the seed of the man. Not the seed of the man, the seed of the woman. That's where Virgin Mary, God's going to do the other part. Wow. So now, over to chapter 30. And in chapter 30, may I pick up, please? Oh, in verse 6, you'll see it. And the Lord God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. What's it going to do when God does it? He's going to make it possible to love God and enjoy the love of God. That's what he's going to make possible. Hang on. Verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to what? To love the Lord thy God. How so? With all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. So to be able to have a awesome, wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful way by being circumcised. Now, having said that, God, how is it going to happen? Well, without leaving the Old Testament, they need to have a circumcised heart. That's what you're going to read. Now, only God can do that. In fact, God is going to do it. God says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. We just read it in verse 6. God's going to do it. I can't circumcise my heart. Skin, maybe, but heart, no. I can't do that. Only God can do that. Well, how do you do that, God? Galatians. And Galatians, if I can, in chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, would you please note, sliding down if I can, to verse 6 in the light of the context. For in Christ Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. So circumcision is just an act, physical. You can sacrifice, you can pray, you can get circumcised. You can do all those things in the flesh and have no relation, meaning to them. You can be baptized, have communion. You can do all of those things and have no meaning to them whatsoever that God has. And we do them, and the church is happy to go through the motions generally across the world. The church, general Christendom. That's what they do. You do it. It's quite, but we have no relationship to God. We have no relationship to God. But that doesn't matter. We do. Now, having said that, in chapter 5, notice the hope of verse 6, I should, and everything and availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh, faith. Is working. Working is in the present tense, middle. Faith is working, working, working. How is it going to work? Well, love is the agent. Well, the little word in verse 6, by, agent, by means of, etc. By means of love. Now, God, what are we going to do? Well, when we love, we get excited about believing, relationship. We just read it in Deuteronomy 30. You love God, how? With all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. You love God. And when you're caught up like that, God's very conscious. You're very conscious of God, very conscious of whatever you're involved in. If you're involved in anything wholeheartedly, excitedly, that's what you're into. And everything else is secondary at the moment. Wow. Now, so, having said that a little bit in chapter 5, picking up over to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, again, light of context, and in verse 15. For in Christ, I'll read verse 14, for God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For, what's the basis of that? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. God makes us new creatures. Old things pass away, everything becomes new. New. God makes us wonderfully new. God, how does this heart surgery work? God, what did you do? You went to the cross and you died. What did you do? You crucified the flesh, the sin nature, every thought, word, and deed of every human being that ever will live from the day they were born till the day they die. All is covered. So God, when you went to the cross, you circumcised so that we could have a relationship to you. That's what you did. Now, having said that, a new creature in Christ Jesus. So God, as we're looking to you and to love and remember as you know all these things like that. So without going to Romans up for the time, well, you can over to Romans chapter 2 for a moment. And in Romans chapter 2, picking up in thought, if I may, and may pick up in verse 28. Remember now, the Jew was tending to brag because he's circumcised and part of the covenant. He belongs. But God said, you guys have no right to boast. You have no, that doesn't make you legitimate at all, because I'm a Jew. Remember Romans chapter 8. They argue with our Lord, we're Jews, we're of Abraham's seed. No question, but you aren't saved. You don't believe like Abraham did. You aren't saved. Therefore, verse 27. Well, if I said that, I'm going to have to go to verse 25 and you'll get it better, even at this point. For circumcision verily profiteth if you keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made of no circumcision. And in the process, no circumcision. Therefore, verse 26, if the uncircumcised keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? In other words, the guy that doesn't know any better is believing. The guy that should know doesn't believe. The guy that doesn't know but believes is ahead of you. Therefore, verse 27, and shall not the uncircumcision by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. whose praise is not of men, but of God. Colossians. And in Colossians, you will note, how do I get circumcised? How did they get a circumcised heart? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. How did we get set apart to belong? Christ was crucified for us, and we understand that and believe. They were looking for Christ to come. We're looking back to Christ who has come. Colossians chapter 2, help us again. Verse 12, buried with him by baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And God, when he died on the cross, covered, cut, cleared, put aside, so that what? All you had to do is believe. I did it. I fixed it. Now just believe. That's all you got to do. Now, Jeremiah, what do you have to learn? Well, God, the people of Israel back then, got hard and hard and hard. And they thought they were counting all the little external things. And the temple was still there, as we shared the other day. And all those things, that's good enough. No, it isn't. You're no different than the people that are going to come Nebuchadnezzar. You're the same as they are, unsaved. You're both unsaved. And you're both going to be punished, especially Israel. Now, so God, what did you do? Jeremiah has to learn that and sit tight and understand that. That's my family. That's my family, right? My mother, my father, brothers, sisters, whatever they are. That's my family. My family's important, see, isn't it? It should be. I mean, you can't have everybody. You can't have 25 different families, you know. Family, it's important. But it's so important looking to that. And so in the process of having the family and all of that, and then what? Well, you discard everybody else from everyone. You're separate unto it. God, but you died for everybody. That's right. I didn't mean to lose that. But God died so that he made all of us of the same nature, same everything. And we have to get saved. And we get saved. And Jeremiah had to see that time has to go on. And it's going to get harder and harder. And you're going to have to wait. God isn't going to change anything. And God's going to let it all happen that way. And that's what you're going to have to do. Now, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to have to get tough. And you're going to have to grow up. You're going to have to get more and more on my side of things. We see family, friends, we just start saying that. And we look at it that way. We cherish this and protect this. And we do all these different things. God isn't doing that. God's condemned it all. And when you line up with him, you need to line up with him in your heart more and more, not less and less. And so therefore, you have to what? You get to the point where you see that all humanity, including your own and mine, is condemned. So we don't apologize, we aren't going to honor it. We don't have to fight it. We don't have to crucify it because God already did that. Another way, anyway, you know that. People say, well, crucify yourself. Well, how do you do that? If I put both hands up, how do I crucify myself? You see, you understand that. You can't do that. God did it. God did it by faith. And you get caught up in what God is doing and isn't trying to save you in your flesh. He isn't trying to save your family in the flesh. and their feelings and their everything, that we're caught up in it. And God isn't seeing it that way. We do. And therefore, we make everything this way. And God said, what? You got to learn to make it God's way. So you see it as God does. In closing, over if I can, over to Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, to see it, you'll see it, easy. David had no problem with understanding his fallen nature, and he understood that. He had to confess his sin more than once in a specific way. So, when we come to Psalm 139, here's David. Psalm 139 is about the fact that God is everywhere. And just picking it up in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Is there not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. There's not one thing I'm going to say that God already doesn't know I'm going to say it. There's not one word you're going to say that God doesn't know you're going to say it. God said, what do you know, David? There's no way to get away from God. And here we are in his presence. That's wonderful. I need to be able to get with God correctly so that I enjoy his presence. So then I'm not having to count on my flesh to produce anything, because Christ has crucified my flesh. He's done with my flesh. I'm the one keeps playing with it. If I just do this and think that, and some of that is all right sometime, but sometime it isn't. And I'm busy trying to perfect myself. I don't have to do that. I just have to learn to enjoy being saved, being a new creature in Christ, and God loving us and helping us, and paying attention, good common sense to life and logic and just good things, and trusting God's word as the base and basis for it all. Now, so therefore, here's David, and David's sliding down, if I can, to verse 17. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. So God knows everything from start to finish, from stem to stern. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide if you read the wonderful psalm. You can go to the lake of fire and go to Sheol if you could. You can go anywhere you can. There's nowhere. Bottom of the ocean, 7 miles down there. There's nowhere to go. There's just nowhere to go. You can't run. There's no place to hide. No. So therefore, God, your thoughts to me are more than can be numbered. Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more than in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God's thoughts and ways are higher than the heavens, more than the sand. About David, here's David, here's us. Now, all you can do is understand God's thinking is endless in a zillion ways that we can't even come to grips with. And that's what he's thinking about us right now. Here we are. Here's Jeremiah. Same thing back then. Here's David. Therefore, God, your thoughts about us sliding. Verse 20, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. David, you aren't doing that. You're very conscious of God. Jeremiah is going to get very, very conscious of God for the benefit. That's what we're trying to get. Verse 21, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? And all the stuff going on that's against everything that God wants and wishes all over the place. And say, well, it isn't too bad. It is bad. It is bad. Now, you can't walk up and down because they'll report you and you go to jail. But you have to understand that it's bad. So you don't want to see it. You have to be careful what you're thinking. Because why? What did David? David did, here's Jeremiah, David, here's us. David hates everything that doesn't agree with God, that doesn't honor God. He hates the idolatry. He hates the idolatry. He hates it. That's what Israel failed to do. And he hates it with a perfect, complete hatred. That's what God's trying to get for Jeremiah, for us, to see it from God's point of view and stop condoning it and commending it and apologizing for it. It's just bad, bad, bad. And Christ died to save you from it. And you're done. And the more you can get there, the freer you are in trying to justify or work out things, because then you're trying to work your old nature more than not. You're trying to work your old nature to make it all come out. And that's no good. That's us fleshly, busy doing what we're doing. And we can never get free. Free, which God sets us free. That's what circumcises our heart, so we can have a relationship. That's what God wants. He wants a relationship. Now, if what we're talking about now, is heaven got a problem with the old nature? Are the angels got a good angels? They have a problem? They don't have it. When you get to, here's Peter, James, John, Paul, and them. Do they have a problem anymore? Does David have a problem anymore? No, no one does. It's just us still here. So when you go, you're going to have to quit what we're doing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We're trying to keep it and it doesn't matter. It does. It's going to go. And God says the quicker you get the message and the quicker you can understand and practice, the more benefit you're going to have. Without it, you don't have the benefits. And therefore, I hate. Verse 22, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Now, David, David's got it correctly. Watch. So, David, you just said that about everything in your world, including your own life, including your family, including Solomon, including everybody. Right. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try, put me on trial to the test, and bring and know my thoughts. God, I understand what I just said. I hate everything that you do. I hate wickedness. I hate sin. I hate it. But God, it's in me. So search me and know my heart, because I'm not stupid about the whole thing. I know where the problem is. When I point at anybody else, I got it. So where does it all come from? I'm the part of the system. I'm part of the world system. Therefore, verse 23 again, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And verse 24, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, I understand. So I'm not making a big thing. I'm self-righteous and all this. Nothing doing. Nothing doing. I'm part of the system. But you died on the cross for the system, for me, for every one of us. And that's what you did. Every one of us. And I have to understand that so that I practice being freed as we share the truth will set you free. So that I understand and can enjoy more and more God's position. God sees you how? If you're saved, God sees you in his Son. Remember that. If you're saved, you look in the mirror, you see yourself. God sees his son. That's why you're saved. That's why you're safe as can be. And we need to learn to enjoy that relationship. Do you understand? Jeremiah is getting a wonderful education. And God says, Don't blame God. You never said anything, God. God said, listen, I gave you a whole 24-hour day. How many days of your life so far? And I wanted you to save from day one. Now, you either get saved or you don't, but don't tell me I didn't give you time. Don't tell me I didn't give you space to fix things in your life. I gave you plenty of space. So don't blame me. Don't blame me. It's a long time. Your whole life, from Israel and Egypt, Israel to Jeremiah's day, they did evil. They were failures. Failure and fault was theirs. So God, you set us free. It's wonderful. I want to understand more and more of the benefit of just what you have done for me and us. From your window, not from mine, and not from anybody else's. I want to see it from yours. I want to learn to hate that which you do. The evil heart, where is it? It's in me. God, I want to hate it so that I can love you the more with all my heart and with all my soul and all my strength. That's what I want to do, God. No. Nope.